want to welcome Parsha Shmos, a good Parsha for Achnesses Orchim, on many levels, Okay, welcome. Achnesses Orchim, so we want to welcome, first of all, Rabbi Meir Siegel from Chicago, who's joining us very briefly. He's had a very busy day, so he may have to leave shortly. Just wanted to, it's a big schus to have a Talmud Chacham of his caliber sitting in our, amongst us. So Baruch Hashem, we spoke this morning at Mesavik Bafar Raglav about being in the presence of Talmid Chachamim, so I don't want to be marich. We also have the Lowies with us, Eli and Zev, from Lawrence, right? Zev's visiting from DRS, and we have Paul Weinberg and Joseph Silverstein visiting from Cedarhurst, from Rambam, correct? Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we like having guests. We always like to start the shiur with a little bit of a Dvar Musar, or a little bit to work on our midos. It's a fascinating, one little Rashi in Parsha Shmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is starting to launch history, and Am Yisrael is suffering miserably, and everything is very urgent, and some of that urgency is connoted by that whole story in the hotel where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe you can't move fast enough and stop tarrying. Chazal say very powerful language, the Gemara and the Nidarim, that Nisatzel Moshe is a little bit of lazy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost Chas V'Shalom, the consequences were very dire. And we can understand, because Am Yisrael is sinking, whether it's historically, whether it's spiritually. That pasuk in Shir Shirim about these deers bounding over mountains, Chazal see it as a metaphor for things to happen quickly. Things were taking place. I told you very often that whenever you see political turmoil, redemptive history can't be far behind. The fact there's a lot of turmoil, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mechashe Vesakeitz, and he puts the Malachim where they have to be, and where they have to be, and there are three paros, and say from Parsha Shmos. Think of that. There's a power with which we begin, and then there's a power of Yaakov Melachadus, and there's a power of Yamas Para. Paros lived a long time. They normally outlasted many, many decades. So the fact that we're seeing three paros means that evidently Kodesh Baruch Hu is accelerating history to be Medalag El Harim. So everything in Parsha's history moves at lightning breakneck speed. Except for when finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces Moshe to go to Mitzrayim, Vayelech Moshe Vayashav El Yeser Chosno. He returns home to Yisrael. What does he need to return home to Yisrael for? Am Yisrael is waiting, Geul is waiting, Parshas Beshalach is waiting, the Yamsuf is waiting, everyone's waiting. So it's technical. I'm sure he needs food, he needs his family, he needs to gas up. But the Torah doesn't record technical things. And Rashi already knows this. Vayashav El Yeser Chosno, why does he go back to Yeser Chosno? Litol Rishus, Shei Nishbala. He took an oath to Yisrael that he wouldn't leave and betray his daughter. After all, Moshe is Yisrael's son-in-law. Forget who he's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's Yisrael's son-in-law. You don't just leave. I don't understand something, guys. History, Geula, everything's waiting. So you'll send an email to Yisrael. It's not the end of the world. Someone will tell him. It shows you how important Kavod HaBrios is. That no matter what's waiting, no matter how large the scale, no matter how grand the project, nothing's Docha Kavod HaBrios. We'll learn next week, actually, Gemara in the Tzadik Dalet, about Kavod HaBrios' Docha Derabanan's. We'll learn the halach of taking out a mace to a Carmelist for Kavod HaBrios. Okay, so those are very, very bold Kavod HaBrios. The body's decomposing, it's smelly, people are reacting to the body in ways that are disrespectful. But even finely tuned Kavod HaBrios is more important. You think it shouldn't be, you think it's sweeping under the carpet. But the high can't stand without the low. So wherever you are in life, and a lot of you will be in some very, very great moments, and a lot of you are slated to do some very great things, you can't lose track of individuals and their sensitivities just because the world around you is swirling at warp speed. And Moshe will prove this once again in B'Shalach, when everyone's busy, B'Bizas Mitzrayim, and Moshe is the one person who you think, you know, the old adage, ask a busy person to want something done. You think he's the last person that should be involved in Yosef's bones. Something I saw in Rav Lichtenstein. Very, very makbid on Kavod HaBrios. Very makbid even, I mean, when he walked into a room, there were hundreds of people, I'm assuming, that waited online and wanted to speak to him. But he gave everyone their attention, and he never overlooked. And I told you who was crying the most at Yeshiva, aside from everyone else. He was crying the most, the Arab workers. Every single Arab worker, Muhammad and Eid and Ismail, and you can ask them that. Go ask them. Because every Rosh Hashanah, he would go one by one and wish them a Shana Tova, one by one, to the Arab workers to wish them. So think about that when you read, the whole world can wait for Kavod HaBrios. Because without Kavod HaBrios, the world itself is decayed, and whatever you're trying to build is going to be toxic. So think about that, Rashi, and have